Well, good evening, friends. You know, there is almost no pain like infertility. It drives people to action, both husbands and wives, almost without end, to meet the difficulty. It's painful socially, for everywhere you go, people have kids. You come to Christmas and it's all about children. It's painful psychologically. What is it about me? Why can't I? It's painful spiritually. Where is God? It's so painful that it takes on a physical aching for many women. It's so sad and painful. And the Bible has a few events, episodes, few women whom it speaks of in terms of barren as the word. Infertility is our word. Hannah had no children. She was married, but it was a polygamous marriage. There was another wife. And the other wife, she had children. You see the pain? As if it's not bad enough that I don't have them, but this other wife does. It clearly is not my husband, it's me. Because he can have children with her. Polygamy is mentioned in the Bible from time to time, never positively. It's always negative. And here was another occasion. Because the other wife, we read, provoked Hannah grievously to irritate her. Because Hannah was the favoured wife from the husband. And the other wife got back at Hannah through the children. Hannah was distraught in her pain. Of course, it wasn't the days of IVF. It wasn't the days of all the other kind of medical interventions that we have today, which still don't always work and still create considerable pain. But they weren't even available then. So Hannah prayed to the Lord. She prayed so urgently and so desperately that the old priest at the temple thought she was drunk or mad. But she wasn't. She was desperate. And she prayed and prayed to the Yahweh, the Lord. And Yahweh heard her prayers and gave her a son. The son that she committed to the temple, Samuel. And after she had this son and he was weaned and she took him to the temple and gave him to Eli to look after and to raise, God was kind to her and gave her three more sons and two daughters as well. For God heard her prayer. And the son that God provided in particular, Samuel, of course, was one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. The man who became the great priest in Israel, the man who anointed the first two kings of Israel, the man who ruled and judged Israel, the last great judge, the great priest who anointed the kings. One of the greatest of all the prophets of the scriptures is Samuel, the son of Hannah. You see, nothing is too great for the Lord. Even that which we might think cannot ever happen, nothing is too great for the Lord. For that's what our psalm is telling us here. Psalm 113, I hope you have it still open in front of you, page 612. That's what it's saying. It's a great hymn, a psalm, praise the Lord. The word praise the Lord, of course, is hallelujah. Hallel means to make a noise in favour of, to speak up for. And Yah is the first part of the name of God, Yahweh. You'll see in your Bibles that the word Lord there is printed in capital letters all the way through. Uppercase, if you prefer to use it that way. And that's because the Hebrew word is actually the name of God, Yahweh. We generally don't like printing the name, and so he's called the Lord, and so as to make sure that you know it's just not Master, it's put in uppercase all the way through. But the sentence is actually saying, praise Yahweh. Praise those servants of Yahweh. Praise the name Yahweh. That's what the psalm is calling upon us to do. And you see in verse 2, to bless the name Yahweh. And where do you bless and when do you bless? Why? Forever and ever. And where? Everywhere. As far from the east is to the west, let his name be blessed. Let all the world and all the creation and every voice and every person praise Yahweh. Because look at who he is, verse 4. Yahweh is high above all the nations, and his glory is over the heavens. There is nothing too great for Yahweh. He rules the universe. But look what he does, he who is high above all the heavens. For it says, who is like Yahweh our God, who is seated on high? And the answer is nobody. But it's not just that. Who is like Yahweh our God, verse 5, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? It's not just that he is over everything. He is concerned about everything. He looks down on the heavens. He looks down on the earth. There's nothing too great for Yahweh. Why have you come tonight? Is it because there's a problem? A difficulty? Illness? Hostility? Infertility? Is there some deep, abiding, continued, consistent problem that seems never to be overcome in your life? There is nothing too great for Yahweh. He is the Lord over heaven and earth. But when he looks down upon the earth, look what it says he does, verse 7. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and the princes of his people. There is no one too small for Yahweh to be concerned for. For he doesn't just look down upon the kings and rulers of the universe. He looks down on the poor and the needy and raises them up to sit with the princes of the universe. I don't know how many royalty there are here sitting here tonight. I have a deep sneaking suspicion. Zero is my suspicion. But hey, I don't know. You may well come from more royal stock than I can imagine. And I don't know how many rulers of Australia are sitting here tonight. I suspect it's about the same number as those in royalty. It's not. But God cares for little people. In particular, he cares for widows and orphans. And they are the littlest of the little in the affairs of mankind. And God looks to raise up the little, that they might sit amongst even the great. And so, it is explained to us there, quite suddenly and dramatically in verse 9, out of the blue, or the Americans have a wonderful phrase, out of left field, it just kind of suddenly appears there in verse 9, he gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of her children. Of all the little ones that God blesses and raises up, it's the childless one, the infertile one, the barren one, that he in particular blesses. For it doesn't matter who you are, God is concerned for you. And the God who is concerned for you is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Ruler of Rulers, who sits above the heavens in all power and in all authority and can answer your prayers. But of course, if you really know your Bible very, very well, you would recognize what I didn't recognize, because I don't know my Bible this well, until I looked it up and found out that verse 7 and 8 is actually a direct quote from Hannah in 1 Samuel 2. And that's why I started with Hannah, because this is what she said when she was raised up. She who was put down by the second wife, she who didn't have the child that she was longing for, she who felt like she'd missed out on the blessings of God, she, when she was raised up in response to the prayers, when she was given a child who sat amongst the princes, who actually anointed the kings, when she was given this child, she said of God, "He is the one who looks far down and raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and the princes of his people." The psalmist is remembering Hannah. When you praise the Lord, praise the Lord for his mighty power. Praise the Lord for his concern for little ones. A God who is only concerned for little ones but has no power to help them. A God who is all powerful but doesn't care about the little ones. Neither of those gods would help us. But that is not the true and living God. The true and living God, who is mighty and powerful, is the true and living God who cares for little people. For you. For me. Unimportant people who won't be recorded in the history books, and there won't be Wikipedia articles about us or anything like that. We won't suddenly appear, whose only time we appear in the Herald is our funeral notice. The little people. God cares for us. Isn't that good news? Our politicians don't always care for us, do they? They care for us en masse. God cares for us individually. And that's why we can pray to him. That's why we do pray to him. That's why we gather here on a Wednesday night and pray for each other and for ourselves. Because nobody else cares for us like he does. And nobody's powerful as he is to answer our prayers. In the New Testament again, we see another woman battling with the infertility of life, Elizabeth, married to a priest, an obscure priest, Zechariah. Again, somebody who wouldn't be remembered in the history books, except she was another Hannah. She was another one whom God raised up and gave her a son. Against all the odds, she was beyond the age of having children. But yet God gave to this obscure couple a child in their old age. And what a child he was. For she was the mother of none other than John the Baptist. She was another one whose son rose up to sit with princes. When he got there to sit with princes, you know what he said, don't you? He said, "You should repent or you'll go to hell." And you know what the princes did to him, don't you? They chopped off his head. For he was a true prophet of God. He was one of the greatest. In fact, Jesus said there was no one greater before the Son of Man. But he came from a woman and a man who had long, I'm sure, prayed. For they didn't have that blessing until God saw fit to give it to them. So we come tonight to God with needs. It's all right, it's okay, we're allowed to. It's a good thing. In fact, this is the safe environment where you're allowed to say, I've got a need. In most of this world, we're not allowed to do that, especially competitive men in business. We don't have needs. We have victories, but we don't have needs. But here we're allowed to say we've got needs because we're going to a Heavenly Father who actually wants to give to us more than we want to ask. I don't know if it's sickness, heartache, pain, grieving, sorrow, depression. But I do know God has his plans and purposes. And I do know that we ask God, the Lord, Yahweh, for whom nothing is too great and for whom no one is too small. And so you can ask. So ask, for he alone is the King, and in his mercy he gives generously to people. I don't think Hannah had the idea that her son was going to be the great Old Testament prophet. And Elizabeth had given up ever hoping of having a child. And they were astonished when they were told that their son was going to be the great prophet. In fact, old Zechariah wouldn't believe it, which is why he was struck dumb. We don't know what God has in plan for us, but we do know he's big enough to solve our problems. And he cares enough to listen to what we ask for. So with boldness and confidence in our almighty loving Father, let's turn to him in prayer. Ask him anything and everything. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for he is mighty. He is mighty to save. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his death and resurrection. We thank you for the pouring out of his Spirit upon us. We thank you that we can know you as our Father. We thank you, Father, that you are the mighty Creator who rules over the universe, who sits above the heavens, who's blessed in all the nations. As we thank you, Father, that you look down upon us little people and you care for us and that you can raise us up to sit with the mighty, for there is nothing too great for you to do and there is no one that you don't care for. So Heavenly Father, be with us now as we come to you in prayer. Give to us boldness and confidence in our relationship with you, to ask of you the things we need and to be thankful to you for whatever you give us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.